Morning. The scripture reading this morning is from the book of Jonah. We're going to be reading the entire chapter one of the book of Jonah. And if you have a hard time finding it like I did, it is one of the minor prophets. If you can find Joel and Obadiah, it's right past there. So, book of Jonah. This is an interesting little subject that we're going to be entering into today. It's the idea of not responding to the call that God puts on our hearts and on our lives. I don't know if you've ever done that. I have. And a lot of times when we think that happens, we think the only person we're impacting is ourselves. And what we're going to find out in this reading is that's not true. In this scripture verse, there is a whole ship of people who are impacted by Jonah's running and not running to the call of God. And likewise, when we reject the call of God on our life and we're not obedient to what he lays out in front of us, there's ramifications. And it has been laid upon my heart over the past years that whether it's me or you or anybody, when we don't respond to the call of God on our lives, it impacts every single thing we do in this church and other people in our congregation and other people in our lives and our families. There's different ways to reject the call of God. One of them is to just not do it, but the other way is to do it in our flesh and not in the power of God. And primarily what I'm thinking about is hidden sin. I think of the sin of Achan, where after they conquered Jericho, Achan stole something he shouldn't. And if you remember that story that followed, the nation of Israel was defeated in battle, and they had people killed because of what Achan did. So one of the ways that we can not follow the call of God in our life is to hang on and to retain hidden sin in our life. And again, just don't think that there's no ramifications for your family and for this congregation, because that does make a huge difference. And the good news is that, although we may not view it that way, God doesn't leave us alone, and he may come in a storm, and we may end up in an ocean, but God will go to that extent to get us back. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because of its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, and we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he said, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, "O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, O Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah, threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. This ends the reading.
I'd like to invite the kids to come down. Here we go. You ever heard the story of Jonah and the fish?
Yes.
Heard that one, yeah. Well, I really want to talk about mercy today. You know what mercy is? Mercy is when you deserve to get a spanking or you've done something really bad and really wrong, but rather than getting the punishment you deserve, God or mom or dad or somebody instead shows mercy to you. They say, you know you should be spanked for this. And you go, yes, I do. All right, today we're not going to spank you, but next time, you understand? That's mercy. Now, I'm going to ask you some hard questions, so you got to put your thinking caps on today. I want to know, can any of you tell me, what was that guy that went in that great big boat? What was his name?
Jonah.
No. Boat. Box. What was that guy's name with all his animals?
Noah.
Good. Good. Now, that moment, God destroyed the whole world. Can any of you think when God showed mercy, even at the time of the flood? How did God show mercy? Very good. He showed mercy to Noah and his family, and he brought them through the flood. Do you know what else he did? This is a harder one. Did you know that God waited 120 years before he sent the flood? So way back, 120 years earlier, he said, Noah, build this boat. And he said, I'm going to give everybody 120 years to repent. But if they don't repent, then I will destroy them all with a flood. And so he showed unbelievable patience. That's called mercy. He shows mercy. How about another one? This one's hard again. You may or may not know it. Can you remember two cities that were destroyed when fire and brimstone fell from the sky and burned those two cities up? Sodom and Gomorrah. Can any of you remember how God showed mercy even to Sodom and Gomorrah? This one's tough. I told you they were hard questions today. Well, one thing he did. Yeah, you can remember his name. Can you remember? God saved Lot and his family. But there's something else I want you to remember. Abraham and God were talking. And Abraham said, God, oh, you're going to destroy those cities? He said, there are so many people there. And Abraham says, God, if we could find just 50 people that loved you, would you let those cities live? And God said, yes. Then Abraham said, Lord, don't get angry with me, but what if I said, if we could find just 40 people, would you spare the cities? And God said, yes again. Then he got it down to 30 and 20, all the way down to 10. And God was so merciful, he said, if I could find 10 righteous people in both cities, just 10 people looking at both cities, he said, I'd spare them all. Do you know what? There weren't even 10 righteous people. There were only 4. And that's all that God saved that day. Now, I have a question you got to figure out during the sermon now. I want you to try and listen for it. I want you to be able to tell me how God showed mercy to Jonah. How God showed mercy to... Oh, you got the answer? Shh, don't tell me yet. I don't want the big people to know. We'll see if they can figure it out. If not, you remind me at the end and you tell me what it was, okay? Good. You ready? You won't know yet? All right. You ready for a treat? What are you going to check and try and listen for? How God showed mercy to Jonah. Good, good. There you guys go. Aww. What a heartbreak. Oh, I know. I gotta get you some others. You just come after church and we can go into my office and we'll find something. Atta girl. So is Jonah about mercy or judgment? We're in unusual times, and I thought the closest thing that I could do to help us understand it would be to reach back into some of the Old Testament prophets to try and understand life and circumstances as they would have been around them. And I decided to start with Jonah, because Jonah is what we call sometimes a very familiar story. We think we've got it figured out, and we got maybe not so much to learn. But I think the story of Jonah is about mercy. I think the story of Jonah is about the mercy of God for Ninevites, the mercy of God for the sailors, and the mercy of God for Jonah. You ready, listening kids? Here it comes. Because in the last verses it says this: God had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. You know, when God asked the question of Jonah, "Jonah, I got a job for you to do. I want you to go preach to the wicked city of Nineveh," that would be like asking you, please don't misunderstand, Brian, I know you got a wife and family and all that stuff, but I'd like you to go over to Syria and preach to ISIS, if you would, please. And I want you to tell them that they're nasty people and they better repent or God is going to destroy them, okay? And you go, I mean, don't get mad at Jonah. Don't misunderstand this. The Assyrians, like I said, were just, they're probably as terrifying to him as ISIS might be in your mind, whether they're that or not. They cut people's heads off, God. Why would you want to save those kinds of people, God? Don't you understand that those people are like this? Why would you want me to go and do that? Only Jonah makes the decision. He said, and it says he turned and ran away, fled from the presence of the Lord. Now, I don't know what you would do, but, you know, I'm reading this stuff in Houston. I'm going, oh, Lord, right? If you work in a hospital or around people and you're going, what happens if that nasty stuff comes to Wisconsin? Oh, Lord, what are you going to do when it's down in your hospital wing or your neighbor or friend or acquaintance or anything else? And you go, oh, Lord, you understand? When we get backed into these corners, when we sense that, I need you to understand the story of Jonah. I don't want to say there's an excuse in Jonah where it says you don't have to go and you don't have to preach. I want you to hear instead the very heart of the story as it unfolds just in chapter 1, and then I'm going to go into each of the other two chapters too so that you get a little bit of that flavor, other three chapters. All right? So Jonah goes. He flees from the city, or he flees from God, and he gets on board a ship down in Joppa. Joppa is on the coast near Israel. It's one of the cities there, probably a Phoenician ship. And he wants to go, at least as far in his mind that he can think of, all the way to Tarshish. Tarshish is all the way across the length of the Mediterranean on the coast of Spain. It's where they gather metals and different things, and they bring them back. But that's where he wanted to go. He figured that might be far enough away, at least in his mind, that was as far away that he could think of, and he figured a boat was better than other ways, and he was going to sail away from God, away from his responsibility, away from the fear, away from the duty. You understand? You and I look at him and say, well, how foolish. How silly of you, Jonah. And yet at the same time, we learn, because this is part of the process, we learn that we aren't a whole lot different than that. We've certainly experienced fear. We've certainly experienced this tiredness that comes up. God, I don't have any more to give. We've certainly experienced of how are you calling me to do this now? What have I done to deserve this? All those emotions that we can get in the middle of as we generate everything from a pity party to anger to fear to all the emotions that can go along when God moves us or calls us or leads us or brings us to certain situations. And so in the middle of this, Jonah gets on board, and you know how I know it was bad? It says Jonah got on board, apparently was chatting away with the sailors before they left, because it says they knew that he was running away from the Lord a little later on in the story. But it says that as the storm got worse, Jonah went down below and fell asleep. And the word for sleep there is as a dead man. You understand? He was exhausted. I think this running away, maybe you've known it. I've known it. Running away from God is exhausting. Ever tried it? Okay? Because God whispers, I'm coming after you. All right? The one sermon, I can't remember who preached it, but they called it the hound of hell, kind of like, I'm coming after you. I'm gonna, this God just reaches after you. He says, I won't quit. I want you. I need, that's in for our sake of our salvation, but also for the sake of this work that God wants to do. So the first place I want you to recognize God shows mercy in the story of Jonah is the people of Nineveh. I'm gathering a man, I'm going to send him to you, and he's going to preach to you, and he's going to call you to repentance. If you repent, then you have an opportunity to turn. So that's the first emphasis of God's mercy. He gets on board the ship, and the storm comes, and you know the story now, it just was reread to you, and within the framework of that story, you understand that they all have to go and talk, and or go and pray. The captain of the ship comes down, and he says to Jonah, he said, the captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he'll take notice of us and we will not perish. Another act of mercy. Jonah, get up. What's wrong with you? Don't you understand the condition of the boat, the size of the waves, and the circumstances we're in? Get up and pray to your... Remember, sometimes a good kick from the right person is just what Jonah needed to hear. I think that's an act of mercy. Jonah, get up and start praying to your God. Now, Jonah, of course, knows in the back of his mind, this is God coming after him. This is God and the reality of the whole thing. And so as it goes on, it doesn't say that he went to prayer. It doesn't say he behaved himself. It says to this, come, let us cast lots. The sailors all go, come, let us cast lots to find out who's responsible for this. The lot falls on Jonah. They come to Jonah, and Jonah says, it's my fault that this storm is upon you. Okay? Throw me overboard. Now, at first, you got to understand. Fine, just kill me. You understand? He didn't roll into obedience. He did not roll into submission to God. He just said, fine, you're going to have to throw me overboard. You might as well just kill me because that's what's going to take. Because I am openly disobedient to God. I'm not following the command or the call of God. So throw me overboard. The sailors respond with a much more righteous response. They grab their oars and they do everything they can to bring that ship under the hidden protection of the shoreline somewhere. But the way the storm is throwing them, they can't do a thing with it. Finally, they cry out to God and they say, God, please have mercy on us. We don't want to throw this guy overboard, but it's been proclaimed. The lots fell on him. He's recognized it himself. He says, I have to go overboard. Please don't let this man's blood be on us. And they take Jonah and they throw him overboard and the sea becomes still. Mercy of God for the sailors. Not only that, when the sea becomes still, it says they are struck with such reverence, such awe, that they offer a sacrifice to Jonah's God. God in his mercy worked through the middle of this wretched storm to bring these sailors into a face-to-face moment where God and them come together. They say, this God of Jonah is the true God, that kind of mentality. And they stand in awe of what he is and they offer a sacrifice to him. Now, kids, here's your part. Ready? I want you to listen. I'm going to read it to you now. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, and so they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up, throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it's my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, "O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, O Lord, have done as you have pleased." They took Jonah, they threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him, mercy. But the Lord provided. In the Hebrew, it's actually past tense. The Lord had prepared. The Lord had gotten ready. The Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the belly of the fish. Do you understand? God already knows sometimes the answers that you're going to give him when he calls on you to serve him. Do you understand that the mercy of God is extended to you in, first of all, bothering to call you anyway? And the word of the Lord came to Jonah. "Jonah, go preach. Go do. Get this done." Jonah takes off. And God had worked this out. He knew the end of that chapter. God was fully aware of what was going to happen. He let Jonah run. He let Jonah think he could get away. This whole book is about God showing mercy to a prophet named Jonah who did not get it. It's really about God's mercy on people. If you understand what the Ninevites were like, please understand, I don't know how you'd feel if the people of ISIS, all of a sudden we're guilty, we're so ashamed, we repent, you know, after they've destroyed and killed, let's say, your family members. And then you want to go, No, don't be merciful to them, God. Don't. And God says, "You're not listening. I want to show mercy to these people. Jonah, you go and tell them I want to show mercy. I need them to turn from the direction they're going so I can show that mercy." The sailors who don't get it at first at all, they're just doing what mariners and sailors do, which is travel on the ocean and gain their livelihood that way. They suddenly have this whole thing unfolding in front of them. And they begin to experience the power and the presence of God as they drop their mouths open after Jonah's thrown in and disappears. Or maybe they even see him be swallowed by the fish. Or whatever the case might be. And everything goes still. They're so moved that they vow, they sacrifice. "We will be," you understand, "faithful," whatever they vowed in those vows. That must have been good in terms of positive. Then finally, the last part of the account is, and God had prepared a fish for Jonah. You see, you're busy and I'm busy thinking about Nineveh. We're busy thinking about what a jerk Jonah is. We're busy thinking about how he's run. We're busy on focusing on everything else. And the answer is, that's what God deals with real life people. And the mercy of God is what I want you to hang on to, not so that you make excuses for not doing what God asks you to, but for that you become aware that God is calling you into this level of righteousness, into this level of commitment, not out of fear, but he's calling you into it because he wants you to live in the power of the Holy Spirit and begin to say, "Yes, Lord, whatever you want, I will do." God's call in your life or my life is, you have to recognize, God is trying to show mercy at the time of the flood. The flood is not about judgment. The flood is about repentance. If I can just get the people to repent, I can't turn their hearts. I can't reach them. I will even communicate that by giving them those 120 years so like they can repent if they want to repent. They don't. I'm not here to destroy these people of Sodom and Gomorrah or destroy people that are involved in that sin or this sin. I'm here to rescue. And if I could find 10 righteous people in those two cities, I would spare them both. And God is demonstrating mercy even as he brings judgment, even as he brings consequences. And he finally says, I can't do anything else with them. And so what you have to understand is when God deals with me, he deals with this heart of mercy. No matter what I happen to be living through, if I am being thrown overboard or I'm being swallowed by the fish, experiencing 3 days in the belly of the fish, whatever you want to say, I'm certainly not going to say it as I'm in the middle of that situation that God's showing me mercy. But the message, of course, is that here's God working his grace, his tenderness, his love of Jonah into Jonah's life. And you begin to understand how hard Jonah had become. He was a lover of God. He identified himself as serving Jehovah or Yahweh. He identifies himself that way. He puts himself out there in front of everybody. But the dilemma, of course, is that Jonah had lost an intimacy with God. Jonah had lost a sense of obedience. Jonah had lost that sense of absolute joy that comes from the obedience. Instead, he was pouring himself into his exhaustion mode, which was running from God. Now, you and I can run from God in our families, in our marriages, dealing with our parents, dealing with our children, dealing with life and circumstances. Why am I so exhausted? Why am I so tired? Why is life so hard? And the answer is you might find yourself, like Jonah, running from where God has called you to go or be. You might find yourself behaving and living in a way that God has moved you, trying to move you away from, but instead you maintain your anger at your bitterness. You maintain your disappointment or your frustration. You maintain your whatever the emotion is towards some individual, towards someone else, where God says, no, I'm calling you to forgive that great enemy in your life. Who's your Nineveh? You understand? When you start to go, wow, Lord, you're really calling me, but don't you know what my father did to me? Don't you understand what's happened to me in life? Don't you recognize, Lord, how hard life is on me? God says, I'm not failing to recognize any of those things. I'm still calling you to repentance. I'm still calling you to be emptied out. I'm still calling you to be healed. I'm not going to let you stay there. I'm not going to let you continue on in that path. I'm calling you like I called Jonah. Jonah, I have sent you to preach, and you don't want to do what I've called you to do, and I'm going to do all that I can to bring you back to your senses. And so the Jonah that was thrown overboard is a whole lot different in one way, but not as much as you'd think, a whole lot different than the Jonah that spit out or vomited out back on the land a few days later. You understand how hard God sometimes has to work on his own people. Don't be looking out there, those rotten Ninevites, those horrible people of ISIS, those wicked, you pick them. Please understand, you're the one trapped. You and I are the Jonahs. And the mercy of God is coming to you to bring you out of whatever it is your Nineveh. Wherever you want to prefer to run or hide behind some kind of religious thought or religious words or religious behavior, God is calling you out of that. He's calling you into repentance, and he's speaking his heart to you going, I want to make you new, child. I want you to understand, if you recognize, I mean, just think of how the story, you know the story well enough to know that finally Jonah goes and preaches, and here's the miracle, Nineveh, responding to the mercy of God, repents. Would this country repent? I'm not sure anymore. But let's take it off them. Would God's people repent? Now it's home. Now it's me and you. Lord, what are you always calling me to? To repent. To faithfulness. To obedience. Ready? To love your enemies. To forgive those who persecute you. What am I calling you to? To a lifestyle you couldn't possibly live if you don't know my spirit. to a set of behaviors that you won't even begin to understand if my spirit doesn't dwell in you. You'll never understand love. You'll never understand forgiveness. You'll never understand mercy until my spirit brings it so clear into your head that you will actually enjoy forgiving your enemies. Like it says in Romans, you'll heap coals of fire on their heads. They won't know what to do with it. Why are you being so nice? Why are you being so forgiving? Why are you being so kind to me? You understand? And you look back and say, I don't know, because God told me to, I guess. You don't even know why, because your life is so altered by the presence of the Spirit of God, you begin to work with your own life. Even sometimes your Nineveh is yourself. How many people have you met, young men, young women, individuals, that are just their worst enemy? They can just hammer on themselves, belittle themselves, destroy themselves, beat themselves up, and God's calling them to repent. I haven't called you to beat yourself up. Can you find the verse that says, well, you better go and beat yourself up because that's going to be... God speaks of a healing where He restores and changes everything, even our greatest, most fearful moments and attitudes to ourselves. God in Jonah is showing mercy. God in Jonah is showing mercy to multiple of people. And not only is God calling us to faithfulness, because that's certainly there, as Jeff pointed out, but the greater message that I want you to leave with today is I want you to understand the very call of God to do what you think is impossible is to show you mercy so that your life is more fulfilled after you've done what God's called you to do than it was before. How different a man Jonah might have been if he said, yes, Lord, I'll go and preach, which eventually, obviously, you know he has to do. But in the middle of that, you begin to understand, Lord, you are constantly showing grace to me, aren't you? Yes. Everything you ask me to do is for my own good. Yes. But you're asking me to love these people and they don't love me. I know. Pray for them. Oh, God, you got it. You got to be kidding me. Those people hurt my feelings. They treat me disrespectfully. They humiliate me. Pray for them. Oh, Lord. And you got God. You just don't get God. What are we learning? Just in this story, you go, how big is God? You want to see that city of Nineveh? Those killers of people? I love those people. Not only that, I love these sailors. Not only that, Noah or Jonah, I'm going to rescue you. You see, you and I can't understand what that change of heart can bring. You and I can't believe how many people will say, remember when, and you didn't this, and instead you did that, and one day, if you're fortunate enough to live long enough, you're going to have your own Jonah story. Only hopefully it'll be much more positive, where God called, you responded, and you said yes, or God called, and you finally said yes. Because what's His will? His will is to save Jonah. How do I know? God had prepared ahead of time, provided ahead of time, this fish. I knew where you were going to end up, Jonah. I knew exactly what you were going to do. I still called you. I still want you. And I want to save you. Please understand that. When God deals with you, there is not this, I can't wait to trip you up. I can't wait to humiliate you. Those just aren't the emotions that God operates with. It goes, how can I bless you today? How can I make you stronger? How can I help you overcome your own sinful nature? How can I help you overpower the very things that are dragging you down, destroying your friendships and relationships, hurting your marriages? How can I do that for you? Because God is in there working in every one of those situations. God loved Jonah, prepared the fish ahead of time, and He's got your fish prepared too. Join me. Quiet us, Heavenly Father, before your throne. Make us aware that in mercy you work in our lives every day. Make us aware, Father, that you have prepared those places for us to be protected and saved. Lord, have mercy on your people. Help us, Lord, to learn from Jonah. Help us not to participate in Jonah's heart, to recognize that in grace and mercy you continue to work. And so, Lord, bless us. Help us to be filled with such confidence and peace that we are aware that in the middle of saying yes or saying no, you are more than able to work in our lives. But help us, Lord, more and more every day to say yes. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.